Okay. Ready?
Yep.
Okay. Good morning.
Good morning. It seems like it's been a long time, but I guess it's only been about 4 months. So it's good to hear your voice again.
And you also.
Very good. I want to say, before I get into the content of today's session with you, the last time I talked with you, you seemed, and I think I may have brought this up at the end, that you seemed different, and you had said that it was me and that I was more open and receiving. And it was kind of interesting because I think you're right, because then when I listened to the recording of it, the CD of it, you sounded completely fine. You didn't sound at all. So it was all me. And then the next day, or maybe for 2 days afterwards, I found myself having this gigantic need to sleep, which I thought was kind of interesting. And I remember that you had said sometimes that's what reactions that people have.
Yes.
So I thought that was kind of interesting. Also, I have this back problem, and I would say probably for like a month afterwards, my back felt really good. So was that receiving your energy did something with my back?
Yes.
Ah, all right. Well, I I asked to contact you again via Mary because I had a experience 2 or 3 weeks ago at work, and it's left me with little confusion, and I'm trying to follow my own lead and understand my messages, but the problem is that I sort of feel like all messages seem valid, so I'm not sure. And what this was is I've worked at this school now for about 4 years, and I've mentioned my boss to you before and how I find her to be extremely controlling and nitpicking and disrespectful, etc. And you had said that that this is a vehicle for me to understand my responses. And I thought what was interesting is that although we haven't seen eye to eye many times, this last time she called me into her office and said that she was not sure that she wanted to renew my contract. And she left it as kind of a threat. And she listed various reasons, and they all had to do with the fact that I was not doing her bidding. But I reflected on it over the weekend, and I have to say that this is the first time that I didn't get massively upset and walk out, you know, and get all huffy and stuff, or think about quitting. And I took it as, you know, maybe this was an experience to show me about, or to have me experience practicing finding balance in my expression, because I noticed that with her, as I've done with other people that I haven't gotten along with in terms of work experiences, or maybe otherwise too, that I either hold in all comments because I either feel that I'm going to get too emotional or they're not going to understand or it's going to, you know, have some kind of negative conclusion, or I go away in the extreme and I sort of emote and express sort of over the top, so that she was a valid person to help sort of me learn how to be somewhere in the middle, and since balance is my one of my intents. So I thought about it over the weekend, and I came back and I approached her in a different manner, but then I went back and I thought, well, maybe this is an example of, or maybe this is a message for me to, you know, that I'm not happy in this job and that I should look for another job. So I don't know. And I wanted to get your responses to it. And also that when I was talking to my ex-husband, and he asked me to go through the sort of the litany of my job experiences, there was a pattern, but one of the patterns that I found that was I'm really curious about is that I notice about every 6 years, and it's pretty much to the dot 6 years, I begin to look for a new job, and that this job currently is like my sixth job. So I'm noticing that the number six seems to be repeating itself, and so that's got to have some meaning, but I don't know what.
First of all, let me express to you, many times individuals look for what you view as a meaning in certain numbers, and the meaning is the most obvious, for it is a signal of a pattern in that you have already deciphered the meaning, for you already recognized the pattern. And this may be associated with a cycle that is familiar to you in becoming restless or dissatisfied with what you are doing. Now, I will express to you that that may not necessarily be a natural cycle. It is a familiar cycle.
Right.
And in that, it continues, for you have not allowed yourself to experience differently. And therefore, you do not incorporate a reference point of how you can create differently or experience differently. Now, in this situation, you are beginning to allow yourself to experience differently. For what is familiar to you, as you are aware, is to withdraw or to explode. But both of those actions create opposition and project an uneasy energy. And both of those expressions draw to you what you do not want. Therefore, in either manner, whether you are withholding, but you are only withholding the outward expression, you are not withholding, you are not withholding energy. Therefore, both of these actions accomplish the same outcome. But you have been offering yourself more information recently, and you have been paying more attention and practicing. And in that, your energy is changing, and you are offering yourself more information, which is allowing you to experience differently. In that, it also allows you to engage certain situations differently. This situation is a significant opportunity. It is a significant turning point, so to speak, with you. For this is an opportunity for you to genuinely not react, but also not to be threatened or concerned with the expression of the other individual, and an opportunity for you to genuinely realize that the other individual can generate whatever type of expression she wants. She can generate any type of agitation that she wants, and it genuinely does not concern you. For you, in your terms, are in control of what you are creating. Therefore, it is a matter of allowing yourself, without doubt and with your own confidence, to proceed in your direction, not allowing the expression of the other individual to be affecting. And this is a significant practice, and it is a significant movement for you. For this can be tremendously empowering to know that you actually are directing you.
Right.
And to know that whatever the threat is only in your thoughts. It may seem very real, and the apprehension or the anxiety that you feel, or that you could feel in association with the threat, is very real, but it is not actually occurring.
Right.
Therefore, it is the thoughts that are influencing the perception. But if you genuinely remind yourself that this is only real in your thinking, it is not actually occurring, that offers you the freedom to continue in your course and not concern yourself with whatever agitation the other individual may be generating. That is her own agitation.
Right. And you know, I know exactly what you're saying, because I think that what you're saying, although you said it with more clarity than what I had in my mind, very familiar with what I went through, because this happened on a Friday. The Saturday and Sunday following was exactly what passed through my mind, which is, you know, she was, you know, in the commons area, and it was something that I did in a moment, which she perceived to mean something, which it didn't, that then she kind of went off in that particular moment, and that's really her issue and her experience. It didn't have to be mine.
Yes.
But then what I thought was, given that, what do I want to do, and what choices do I have to handle it? And that's where I felt significant power within myself for the first time. Because I think earlier I would have gone off with a great deal of anxiety with this thinking that said, okay, I'm going to lose my job. Oh my God, what am I going to do about my house payments? Oh my God, my children are going to be on the street. And I didn't do that. I mean, I did it maybe for an hour right afterwards. But then I really said to myself, if I don't want that to happen, I can do something about it. If I do want that to happen, then I move in this direction. And it's simply my choice.
Yes.
Which was very empowering.
Yes.
So when you're saying that this is a significant opportunity to really direct myself and to experience my own empowerment, I absolutely agree with you.
I am greatly congratulating of you, my friend. This is a significant move.
But see, then what happened is, as I thought about this, I thought, well, no, but maybe because this happened, and this has been happening because I decided finally, and I remember you said this to me a year ago, that a way to trust myself, practice trusting myself, was to follow through on my writing. So I finished a novel, which I had never allowed myself to do. It was a small novel, it was 195 pages, but still, I looked at it and I thought, you know, this is something I created from beginning to end, and it seemed to come so effortlessly. And for the first time in my life, I think, I felt such amazing ease and joy in just the act of writing. I thought, my God, I've never experienced this quite like this. I mean, talk about not feeling any opposition, which was a new one for me. just sitting down and time would bend for me, where I would like think I maybe was writing for an hour and it'd be 10 hours, and I thought, my goodness, this is so fascinating. But then she really blew up once I was about a week after I completed the novel. So I thought, well, is this my way of saying, Alicia, you know, you really should pursue your writing, and she's helping you? Or is this, you know, again, balance, or is it both, or does it not matter? And so then I got all convoluted in my thinking, which is why then I thought I would reach out to you and get some clarity from you.
I'm understanding, but it is not a matter of black and white, or either or.
Right.
It is...
It can be whatever I want.
And all of this information is valid and significant. You are correct. But what you are doing is presenting to yourself options and different avenues, and that you can generate benefit to yourself in all of these avenues.
Right. And here's the problem, as I realized, is before in my life, when I would look over my options, I would at some point see that there were more pros and cons, or there are more cons than pros. And this time, when I thought, okay, I could quit the job and just say, screw it, I'm going to have complete faith and devote myself to writing. Or, no, I'm going to stay, but I'm going to look for a new job. No, or I'm going to stay and not look for a new job. All of these, they seem to have equal benefits.
Yes.
And so then, it's like, how do you choose? Because they're all equal.
And in that, you are actually opening that door to your own freedom. It is not a matter that you must choose between them, but more so, it is a matter of allowing yourself to experiment and perhaps choose them all. Yes.
I'm trying to figure that one out.
It is not a matter of moving in the either or, but that you can actually move in all of these directions, and in doing so, you can allow yourself to evaluate which directions you prefer more, which directions you are comfortable with, which directions are offering you the most value.
Mm-hmm.
And remember that in some directions you may incorporate some uncomfortableness, but that is not to say that the experiences are not valuable.
Right. And I, boy, Boy, I tell you, that when you said that a while ago, that made so much impact on me. Because I've judged previously all my negative experiences, or in terms of feeling negative about them, to not have value. But then I look back and I think, well, they've made me who I am. So, you know, and they've taken me to a next level always.
Yes.
So that's value in and of itself, which means then I don't judge them, which means that I sort of don't get stuck.
Yes.
I guess I would say, or get depressed, you know, in the midst of them.
Yes.
Which
is quite liberating.
Yeah, but then what happens with the liberating is when I realize that I could go, I have five choices, and I could equally go into five choices and be okay, then it makes me realize that, well, it's hard to make a choice, but I guess that means then, or that's a signal to me that I need to experience all of them, and I haven't come to a conclusion yet because I'm not completed in my exploration of them.
Correct.
That once I am complete, I will make a decision and things will happen.
Correct.
Would you say?
Yes. I would very much agree.
Okay.
This is your opportunity to...
I had a dream right after this that I sort of interpreted, but I don't know if there's more to the interpretation, but it was kind of pretty obvious. In that right after I had this argument with my boss and I was worried about being fired, Friday night, I had a dream that I was learning how to fly with my body. And I was with my best friend of childhood in real life. Her name was Roseanne, but Roseanne is also the main character in this novel that I wrote. So we were practicing flying, and I was being very gradual. And so I would be like maybe 5 inches from the ground flying, but I would say, okay, even though I'm not up in the air completely with the birds, this is still flying. And then the more I did it, the higher I got. But then I noticed that we were going in a direction, and so we were passing through buildings and going inside and outside of buildings through the doors, open doors, but I was worried that, like a helium balloon, I might, if I go too high, I might get stuck on the ceilings of these buildings and not be able to go through the doors. And then all of a sudden I found myself in a big room, and it was like a waiting room to a doctor's office or something, and this woman gave me an iPod that was like a heavy gold, and she told me to just wait, in the meantime, listen to the latest Harry Potter novel. So when I woke up, I thought, well, this is obviously having something to do with my novel that I just wrote, and it has to do with freedom, but also, I don't know if I want to say fear, but just concerns about boundaries or limits.
But also presenting yourself with the element of fun and magic.
Yes.
Therefore, what you are presenting to yourself is an encouragement in allowing yourself that freedom and the fun and the magic, but also addressing to your concerns and not allowing them to limit you.
Okay. So, to understand them so that I can move beyond them, not get blocked by them.
Yes. That you may naturally incorporate some concerns in different situations that may be unfamiliar to you, but not to allow that to create an obstacle or to limit you.
Right, because now that I think how I'm associating what you just said with that is that It was so much fun to write the novel. But now I have to actually do something with it, because I want to. But I'm also afraid to do something with it. And so I am noticing that sort of in quote-unquote preparation, I'm saying, well, if I never find a publisher, this can be a lovely gift to give my children. Or, you know, if, you know, I can't find an agent, then, well, at least I've completed something. Or...
No, 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 no.
Well, yeah.
That is precisely creating the limits.
Right.
And that is... what the imagery of the dream was concerning, not allowing yourself to create limits
right.
by allowing concerns to affect you. Remember your leprechaun.
Right.
Remember, it does not distinguish between good or bad, or comfortable or uncomfortable, or success or a lack of success. It offers to you precisely what you are expressing. If you are moving in the energy of doubting your ability, that perhaps you will not or cannot accomplish a particular action, your leprechaun is expressing very well, you will not.
Right.
This
How do
is...
you address, because I think this also explains another dream that I had about a week later, and you had said the first time we met in person that... in Chicago that I was struggling with beliefs around accomplishment and age, and I'm noticing the age ones coming up now regarding having completed this novel, because what I'm saying to myself is, okay, I'm 51 years old, I've never written a novel before, and accomplishment, I've never gone to writing school, I don't have my master's in fine arts in writing, which seems to be the thing these days, so how would anybody even look at the first chapter, because, you know, one of the things that they want in your query letter or even by way of internet is to say where else you've been published. Well, if you're 51 years old and you've never been published before, it's sort of like a catch-22. So how do you, you know, these are things that are sort of also mass beliefs, not just my beliefs. And so how do you, you know, move beyond them, I guess?
First of all, I will express two factors to you. You are aware of and you know more than you think you do. And secondly, you incorporate more resources than you acknowledge, and use. For this is quite common to generate the thinking in specific manners that are traditionally accepted or are conventional.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the automatic and the first direction that you move in. In this, remember the three factors in intentionally creating what you want. One is allowing the thinking as a translator in relation to what you want, but also generating the doing or the action and the feeling or experiencing. These three factors move in harmony, and when they move in harmony, you are successful and you create what you want intentionally. Mm-hmm. If these three elements are not in harmony, you do not create what you want.
Right.
And you generate disappointment.
So my thinking is here. Not my thinking, but my awareness is that this is what happens to me, and I'll use this example of the story, of the novel creating. I have a really good feeling, and I look at it and I say, wow, I really like what I've done. I think I really have some talent, and I really enjoyed the process and felt great joy. So that's something there.
Yes.
But then I have thinking. The thinking comes up, which is being influenced by, and I also realize how influenced I can be out from outside of me, where the thoughts, the beliefs of, well, but you are, 51 and you've never published anything, or, which is sort of a mass belief, and it's becoming more so, it's becoming more so all these credentials that you can't do X, Y, and Z unless you have a credential after your name. So how do you, so I know that my feeling and my thinking aren't in harmony, but how do you then, get the thinking part, which is from society, in harmony with your feeling, which is personally from you?
First of all, let us return to the imagery of your dream.
Uh-huh.
And the end of your dream, which involved the other book, the magic book.
Mm-hmm.
And what is further imagery of that book in relation to the individual that wrote it?
Well, this is what I was thinking too, which is, she just sat down one day. I mean, I thought that gosh, Alicia, you're making associations, because there's a similarity between you and J.K. Rowling, where she had no money and she had a baby and she didn't have, a degree, and she didn't go and get her master's in fine arts, and she'd never written a book, and she sat down and did it.
Precisely. And the outcome is what? Tremendous success.
Hmm.
This is imagery that is an encouragement to you.
Okay.
And a reminder to you,
mm-hmm,
that mass beliefs do not always override what an individual can accomplish.
Right.
And that it is not necessary for you to concern yourself with that, for that is not a factor in whether you can accomplish this action or not.
Mm-hmm.
You have enjoyed one facet of the process, and now you are moving into another facet of the process, and how you accomplish this facet of the process is, first of all, to be not doubting your ability to actually be successful, to allow yourself to experience that now,
mm-hmm,
and to be incorporating actions that are involving you in the process of creating that success now, not waiting for it.
Mm-hmm.
And I may also express to you another suggestion, which actually does create a difference in the energy You can even practice pretending that your novel is a book and it is published.
Mm-hmm.
And you are generating the benefits of that. Even in that action of pretending, it changes your energy and it projects that energy to your leprechaun once again. I have this book. And your leprechaun expresses, very well, you do have this book. In this, I will also offer a clue in a suggestion in how you can move in somewhat of a different direction outside of that box in your thoughts. You incorporate your computer, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you have been investigating avenues in relation to your book with your computer, correct?
Yeah. You might be over my shoulder.
Now, perhaps you may incorporate your computer in offering the information to individuals within this forum that you interact with your computer, that you have written this book.
Oh, I have already done that. In fact, I've given it to a few people. Is that what you mean?
Yes, this is an avenue that you can tap into, that you can generate support and avenues to connect with a publisher.
Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny because I was thinking about that a while ago. I had that, it was a little blip of a thought, but I thought, you know, there's one way of going and finding a publisher via the old-fashioned way of just looking at publishing houses, but what if, who knows that somebody in the forum might know somebody who might know somebody who might know somebody who might be a publisher?
Correct.
Is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That thought. The other thought that I had, which I enjoy having, but then I sort of think, oh, you know, somehow this is kind of grandiose of you, Alicia, is, you know, If the idea that all time is simultaneous, then in some ways, my book has already been published, and what I'm doing is merely inserting it.
Yes.
So it is there. So when I, sometimes when I think that way, I think, well, that's a way to kind of circumvent the doubting.
Yes.
Is it's already there.
Yes. And I would be quite encouraging of you in this direction.
Because I felt like, thank you, I felt like, and, you, and I don't know if you can speak to this, but the way that it flowed, the way that I started, and I'd only really allowed myself short stories because I thought, well, you know, you can't, it's like if you're starting composing, you don't start with a symphony. And I never allowed myself, but then I felt this tremendous urge to do this. And it would not let me be. And I think there was probably about a year between a short story and the novel that it came from or that it turned into that I didn't do anything except let it entertain in my head. Then when I actually sat down to do it, even if I felt like there was a snag within the plot line, within a few days, the answer was found by me. And you know, I wrote it probably in about 2 months. And so I felt like there was some reason why this was so easy for me. either it's already there, or I was getting encouragement from my essence or from some other energy essence, because it's meant to be there.
And I would say not either, but both.
Oh, okay. I forget about that both. That was kind of, to me, a clue why it was coming so effortlessly. And it is very much about the shift, and in a way that I want to address it to young adults and older adolescents, in a way that kind of introduces some of the concepts. So, that's another reason why I felt that connection, because it wasn't just about, because it was such a topic that is already, drawing people to.
Yes.
I guess.
Yes.
All right, so I just need to continue this, and I shall, and I will. The funny thing is that sometimes this the creative process of this novel seems almost bigger than me, and what I mean by that is, even if I put my own obstacles in front of me, I find that it doesn't stop me. I sort of feel like I'm this speeding train or moving train.
I would express tremendous congratulations to you, my friend.
Really?
You have generated
really?
Significant movement.
The other thing, actually, that has been coming to my mind is that somehow in this process, afterward, from the novel writing to the issue with my director, was I kept thinking of the phrase lifting the veil of separation, the idea of separation, and my moving in exploring that separation really isn't separation, or that I have been a bit, I don't want to say remiss, but that I've held so tightly to the idea of separation that I now want to explore removing that. Is sort of indicative of these experiences that have been happening of late.
Yes, I would agree.
Okay. So I was reading also the clarity exercise that you had presented, and I was wondering if you could say more about the clarity exercise in a way that I could find it useful for me to practice it in specifically helping me lessen separation.
And how have you been incorporating it?
I know you said try it 3 times a day, and I'm lucky if I do that. But once a day, what I will do is, wherever I'm sitting, I will softly gaze upon a specific point, but try to look at everything, including visions from the side, and as I try to listen to everything that I'm hearing, the sounds around me, and then I didn't do anything with the other senses because I wasn't sure if I was part of it, because it seems like if I'm not smelling anything, then do I create a smell, like a smell of peppermint, or if I don't smell anything, do I just leave it like that? And then I know what you had said was, when you do that after a while, then you can sort of drift with your attention and to whatever kind of flows through you, which would be more of an altered state because you've allowed the clarity of your objective senses.
Correct. And the point of this exercise is to be more aware and also to be exercising your abilities and your power in how you manipulate your attention and how you manipulate your energy. In this, it is not merely a matter of being aware of what you are experiencing with your outer senses, but also moving into the experience of actually manipulating each of those senses in a manner in which you enhance it or diminish it. When I express diminish it, I'm expressing that you actually move into an experience in which you can turn off a particular physical sense. And
this is when you're actually doing the clarity exercise with the objective.
Yes.
Okay. So like if I was visualizing, if I found my focal point, and let's say it's a vase, then I could, by enhancing it, would be allowing for, while I'm continuing to look at the vase, seeing something else in the room and making that appear sharper?
Yes, you can incorporate that action, or you can enhance one sense in relation to turning off another sense. If you turn off your sense of hearing, your concentration can be more focused in sight, and that will enhance that sense of sight. You can do this with all of your senses.
But what happens if you're not smelling anything, which is oftentimes the case, if I don't have a very good sense of smell?
But if you are moving your attention to your sense of smell, and you are turning off another sense, it allows you to be more focused and concentrate upon your sense of smell, and that enhances it, and you will begin to notice different scents that you were unaware of before and that you were not engaging before. There are always scents present in any element of your environment. You may not notice them,
mm-hmm.
and you may express that you are not experiencing any smell, but those smells are present. It is merely a matter of focusing and generating that clarity, just as an individual may express that they are incorporating no taste.
Right.
For they're not consuming any food or any substance. But in actuality, your taste buds are active continuously.
Mm-hmm.
And they are also very stimulated by smell. Therefore, these two senses move in conjunction with each other, in harmony with each other, very well. And even without consuming any substance orally, you can engage your sense of taste in relation to your sense of smell.
Now, with this, because I was thinking you had used this as a something to help with the lifting the veil of separation. If I do this, then when I drift using my subjective senses, I will have more clarity regarding the all of me?
Yes.
Okay. That's what I was thinking. I have a couple of questions regarding people's essence names, and also Tracy, her essence name is Rafaela, wanted to know if she's connected to my Henry Adams focus.
Yes.
Is she my wife?
No. Family member.
I didn't think so. I think one of my children is my wife.
Family. A family member.
A family member, right. My husband, Richard, what is his essence name?
Essence name. Tegon. T-E-A-G-O-N.
Tegon. Oh, that's interesting. And my sense regarding his family is that he's Samathi belonging Samaria line?
Correct.
Okay. And we had such a terrible last couple of years, but I sort of feel like we're refinding ourselves in a new and different way. And it's making me think that I've had many, many shared focuses with him.
Yes.
And of my 931, which I assume is still 931?
Yes.
How many have we shared? Would he be considered like a soulmate?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like I have a very deep connection with my four children, too, that they're my soulmates.
Yes, I would agree.
And my sister. I have a friend, Maura, and my sense about her is that she's Samari aligned and Millimet belonging.
Correct.
Wow. I have to say that this seems to be a strength of mine, where I can sense people's energies in terms of the families, would you say?
I would express an agreement.
Okay. And Maura's essence name.
Essence name. Pritzi. P-R-I-T-Z-I.
Oh, cool. Okay. And the other thing regarding my boss is that, and I meant to say this to you a while ago, is that I sort of feel like she and I have a lot of counterpart action.
Yes.
And that one of the things that I was wondering if maybe this was deliberate in terms of my creating this at this moment in time, because I'm exploring lessening separation, but that we have a very deep connection that I feel even while I don't like her.
Yes, I would agree.
And that's sort of the very purposeful at this time. Because normally I would say if I don't like somebody that they're separate from me, but I find myself drawn to her regardless.
Yes.
And we have had probably many focuses that have not been so combative.
Yes.
But this one particularly is combative to uncover and explore my beliefs and how I respond with my energy.
Yes, you are.
I sort of see her as offering a gift.
In a manner of speaking, yes.
That's very great. That's true. Okay. All right, well, we're out of time. I can't believe how fast this has gone. But once again, I always love talking with you. And, one other question. Speaking of loving to talk to you, sometimes I talk to you in my head, or I'll just kind of, this may be a repetition. God, I'm getting old. repeating myself, but I sometimes feel like, I'm just like, if I'm driving my car and I'll just say, good morning, Elias, or whatever. Do you feel that when I do that?
Yes.
I
am always present.
You're always present.
Yes.
Well, then, why is it sometimes I created a balloon as a signifier that I felt came from you, but I haven't felt that since. Is that just my not being open to it? Or the opportunity hasn't arisen, and in that particular time a blue balloon happened to be in somebody's hands, and so it was easier to have something, a physical message.
Correct. That is the imagery that you translated in relation to my energy. It is not necessarily a matter of objects per se, but that you are aware of my presence and you will translate that into some type of physical expression.
Okay. Like, I felt that when I was writing the novel too. Were you,
yes,
your essence or your energy was present when I was doing that?
Yes.
You don't want to give me the answer?
I did. I expressed to you yes.
Oh, I missed that. It must have been a bleep on the phone. That happens sometimes. Okay, so my just feeling you is as valid as a physical object in terms of a connection.
Yes, quite so.
All right, very good. Thank you very much.
You are very welcome, my friend. I shall be anticipating our next meeting. And as always, I offer tremendous encouragement to you, and I am greatly acknowledging of you in dear friendship and in great lovingness. Au revoir.
Au revoir.
Hello. How'd it go?